Chris Rashiba. We've been getting in touch with our neshamas and getting in touch with learning. Learning about how we're all shaykh to learning. And we went through the whole sugya of finding our inner koiches and our chilek in Torah. And last week we talked about environment. Even a very capable seed with all of the koiches packed inside needs a good environment to grow. A greenhouse, a place where it can blossom. And this is not my idea. This is already David HaMelech's idea. David HaMelech says, Shisulim Bebeis Hashem. That we should be Shasul Bebeis Hashem. And if you go to a place where they sell trees, they grow the trees in one place and you have to put them into another place. Go up to the Golan, you'll see all these trees that were not planted in the Golan. They were brought from other places. Shisulim. They were taken from one place and put in a place of optimal growth. Certain altitudes are perfect for certain types of fruits. And as you go lower down, different types of fruits. If there's a whole science to where things grow. And the key is to replant ourselves in a new place that's conducive for growth. Everyone starts off in a place. I have an orange tree that my father brought me. I didn't tell him this. I'm nervous he's going to listen to the schmooze. But it's been quite a few years, and I've only gotten one or two oranges out of it. And I'm now working on the environment. There's something wrong. There's nothing wrong with the tree. There's something wrong with the place I put it in my backyard. And that's the way it works with all types of growth, is that we need an environment. A base medrash is a place, as my Rebbe Zatzal said, base medrash. The word medrash comes from Dirshu Es Hashem. Behimatzo, be doirish, want, have things that you're interested in. And that's why a base medrash, usually we say the word drasha means to be medayik in a pasuk. But even before there were psukim, in the time of Shem, in the time of Aver, in the time of Avram Avinu, there were batei midrashas. What did you do in a base medrash? You know what you did? You were doirish as Hashem. You weren't doirish psukim or saying pshat in a gemara. You were connecting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I can't believe it. I can't believe it. After all these years, I did Shnai Mikra last week, and my Rebbe's Vart that he told me in that beautiful, memorable conversation is a Beferisha Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel, and not just a Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel. It's a Rashi. And it's not just any Rashi. It's a Rashi that every little kid knows. Unbelievable how Rashi, Rav Yerucham said about Rashi, that it's a raya that Torah's min ha-shamayim, that as you get older, you see more and more and more in Rashis. You can teach a little kid a Rashi, and you can teach a person who's a gadol b'Yisrael, who's 95 years old, a chiddush in Rashi. Listen to this Rashi! It's pashup pshat! I told this to a few talmidei chacham, they were scratching their heads, like, why doesn't everybody say this? We should run around telling everybody, spread the word. It says that, as we know, Yitzchak and Rivka was pregnant by Yitzrotzu Habonim Bikirba. The kids were going wild, and we know why they're going wild. Comes to a base medrash, the kid's going wild. Comes to a base Avodah Zarah, the kid's going wild, and she got very nervous. Where did she go for clarity? Vatelich Lidroish Es Hashem. She went to be Doirish Hashem. To beseech Hashem. Says Rashi from the Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel. Base Medrash Shem. Right? That's what Rashi says over here. What's the Lidrash Es Hashem? To go to the base Medrash of Shem. Rashi's not just saying that it happens to be that that's where you get answers. It's pshat in the words. Lidrash. If you want to be Doirish Hashem, you have to go to a base medrash. Unbelievable. Different Rashi right now. Das meint a base medrash. The makor of what my Rebbe told me, that a place to really seek out a Kaddish Baruch Hu is the Mefurish Rashi that people learn, that my son, Eliyahu, has on his Daf Kesher. He's only 6 years old. Unbelievable. That's the environment we need, is a place where people are interested in a Kaddish Baruch Hu. And your environment changes your desires. If you're in a place that has a good environment, you start to be interested in things. We're talking about getting into learning. How do you get into something? So we talked about finding your inner you. But aside from that, you need to be in an environment that offers, that excites this thing. That's a base medrash. And there's a very interesting medrash. It's not so well known. It's from an interesting source called Bate Midrashis, Medrash Bate Midrashis, that Rav Kahana had a son. Rav Kahana had a son, and his name was Slake. Interesting name, Slake. And Slake was a little kid, and it was time for him to go to yeshiva. And Rav Kahana wanted to bring him to yeshiva. And his wife says, "Oh, no, you don't. You're not separating me from Slake." And he said, "Yes, I am. I'm taking him to the basement." She goes, "No, you don't." And there was a whole shalom bayis thing going on here. He threatened to divorce her. She said, "No, the pasuk says you have to find an erva stover. You can't find anything wrong with me." It's like, I'm finding something right now. And they were going, and they made a pshara, a wild pshara. This is a wild pshara. They were going to keep Slake at home so mom could have her pride and joy, but they were going to bring someone in to live with Slake. He was going to be there for years, okay? Slake stayed there for a couple decades, and they just brought him things. The Malamed came and lived with him, and Slake lived in his own world, Torah world. And then it was time. Slake was in his 30s. It was time to go out to the big world. And little Slake, who had never seen anything, he goes out, and he sees somebody who drew water from a well. He's like very thirsty. He goes, "Can I have some water?" So the fellow said, "Yes, that'll be $2.50, please." He goes, No. "I'm Slake. I'm a Talmud Chacham. Could I have some water, please?" He goes, "That'll be $2.50, sir." He goes, "I'm a Talmud Chacham. You don't give out water for free to Talmidei Chachamim?" He says, "Listen, it's very important to learn Torah, but I have to make a parnas over here." And Slake was going out of his kalim, and he ran back to his parents so angry. Ran back. Says, "Dad, how can you do this to me? I've been sitting here for 20 years. You can't even get water in this world for being a Talmud Chacham. It's not even Fiji, Rabosai. It's not Evian either. Nothing. You can't get anything for this Torah." So Rav Kahana stayed calm. He stayed calm. And he told his son Slake, he said, "Slake, take this stone." It was a precious sapphire. He goes, "I want you to go into a shuk, you know, where they sell animals, and try to see how much money you're going to get for this stone." "Okay." And then afterwards, Slake, "I want you to go to a precious stone and jewelry shuk, and then I want to see how much you get," right? So Slake goes, and he goes to this place with all the barns and all the animals, and he says, how much will you sell this for me? Will you buy this for?" They're like, "You know, what is this, a sucking candy?" "What is this thing?" It's like, "Nothing. We're not interested in this." And Slake goes to the jeweler, and the jeweler takes out that cool thing, you know, where he's like looking inside. Like, "Wow, $300,000. Right? He comes back to his father, and his father says, "Rav Kahana, Ga'inus Imchinach." He says, "Slake," he says, "don't listen to people who are not experts in jewels." He goes, "You have the Torah. The Torah is precious. And everywhere you go, people are just selling cows and they're selling geese and they're selling donkeys. They don't know anything about anything. They're all a joke. But people who know what it's all about, Slake, they understand what you are. They understand how great you are." And this is exactly our problem. We are stuck in a world where there's no value for the Olam HaYeshivas. No value for the Olam Frech the Kasha. Who asked the Kasha? The world? Give me a break. Yeah, the world. This is a place of experts who know exactly what Olam Haba looks like. They're not stuck in a barn. And the more you hang out with these people, the more you realize where the party is. And if somebody doesn't think you're so great, they're a weirdo, a loser. They don't know anything about jewels. They don't know anything about anything. And you'll be laughing straight to the bank. But a person, if he's not in that environment, then he just feels like totally worthless. And let's go further. Let's go further. You know, our dear friend, Rabbi Menachem Neumann, who's one of the Talmidim, he wrote me a letter this week about last week's Shmuz, about environment. And he said he had this beautiful fish tank. Beautiful fish tank. And the fish were healthy in the fish tank. They were doing great. But they weren't having babies. They weren't having babies. And the guy who's in charge of fish tanks comes to their house. And he says, yeah. He says, it's a very nice fish tank. But they don't feel like they can have children in your tank. They're not feeling it. It's a bad environment for them. And he said, you see the shmuz, you see, mamish. And I realized, Rabosai, that he was machaving to a Gemara. There's an unbelievable Gemara about Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, we've been talking a lot about Rabbi Akiva over the past few weeks. How Rabbi Akiva used to be an Abba Aretz, and he made it to Shamayim. He was from the earth, Am Haaretz. And he headed to Shemayim. Here's an episode at the end of Rabbi Akiva's life. Says the Gemara in Brachas and Daf Samach Aleph. Rabbi Akiva, they threatened him not to teach Torah, especially not Barabim. What did Rabbi Akiva do? He brought Makil Kihilos Barabim Ba'ezik B'Torah. He was making a huge matzav, a yeshiva. Papas ben Yehuda saw Rabbi Akiva and says, Akiva, iatom misyorim ipnei amalchus. You're not afraid of the kingdom, what they're going to do to you. Amar loy emshalacha mashal. Rabbi Akiva said, no, I'm not afraid. I'll give you a mashal. Leshual, a fox, shayimahalech al gavnar, that's walking alongside the riverbank. Vira dugim, shayimiskabsim imachim lalakim. He sees fish jumping, right? He'd love to have fish for dinner. Amar lahem, mipnei ma'atem borchim. What are you running, fish? What are you afraid of? Amar lo, mipnei reshata shemavino limini adam. What do you mean? There are nets. It's dangerous. Amar lahem, ritzonchem shetali yabasha. Come to live with us on the land, little fish. Look, it's great over here on the land. We're having a great time. Aniva atem kishim shedaru avosayim avoseichem. Just like my ancestors lived with your ancestors. I remember last time fish lived, the Zeta fish lived with the Zeta fox. I'm not sure that ever happened, but a little propaganda. Amru lo atahu sha'omram alecha pikeach shebechayis. You're the one, says the fish. You're the one that they call the smartest of animals, the wise fox. Loi pikeach ata elatipesh ata. You're a fool. Ma makom chiyuseinu anemisyarim. We're scared of nets in the water. It's dangerous over here. They're nets. But at least it's our habitat. It's where we're from. B'makom misaseinu alachas kama v'kama. But if you take us onto land, we are dead fish. We're done. So at least let us stay in the water. There'll be challenges in the water, but we have to stay inside the water. And said Rabbi Akiva to Pabbas ben Yehuda, he says, you don't get it. They're trying to stop me from having talmidim, stopping me from learning and being marbitz Torah. Kihilas, kihilas. So they're threatening my life? Okay, it's a little bit of a net, but I'll stay in the water. I'll stay in the water. I'm trying to think, what was the fox thinking over here? The fox, he's supposed to be smart. So what exactly is this? And what's he talking about? You know, this is exactly it. Sometimes a person thinks, you know, they see others and they seem to be functioning very well in a totally different environment. They're going, they're doing, they seem to be living happy lives. And you know, people are saying to this old-fashioned yeshiva bacher, you know, your great-grandparents didn't go to yeshiva for so long. They worked. Don't you know history? Don't you know European history? They all lived on the land together with us. Ooh, right? And suddenly, boom! No, you're a fish! Why is this compared to water? It's not drinking water! There's a fundamental difference between drinking water and this sugya of Rabbi Akiva. Drinking water is when you're thirsty. The water of a river is what surrounds you. Rabbi Akiva was saying, I need my talmidim, I need kehilas, kehilas. I need a matzav of learning. I don't just need a drink of water, I need the water surrounding me. That's the environment that a yid must live in. An environment where in every fiber of their being, they feel the water on their body. They're totally surrounded by Torah. They're not just drinking the Torah, they're immersed in the Torah. That's how we breathe. And if we ever leave that environment, even if we are koveya itim l'Torah, but we're not attached to a yeshiva, not attached to a group of Torah learners who are mamish attached, and it's a place, it's an oasis to keep us going, it's not enough. The drinking of the water doesn't help. It doesn't help because it's an environment that you live in. It's your habitat. It's where you're connected. And that's exactly what Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma meant last week. He said, if you give me, as it says in Pirkei Avos, if you give me all the jewels and all the riches in the world, eini dar ela b'makom Torah. I can't. It's not about learning Torah. It's about placing yourself in a proper environment where the values are clear, where life is clear, what things are about. Now I want to take it further, right? We always like to take it further, and we're ending this sugya for now. We're bidding farewell with the grand finale over there, over here. With environment, what's the most strong influence on a person's environment of all? And I can tell you from my own experience, and it's clear, I'm sure I've spoken to the Rosh Yeshiva about this, and you can ask others who have seen life a little more, who are older than me. What's the biggest influence in yeshiva by far? What's the biggest influence on people's life? Friends. Friends is the biggest influence in yeshiva by far. By far, from the first day that you get here, from the first year barbecue, right, all the way till the end of your stay in yeshiva, friends are an environment. Friends are not just people you connect to. Friends are who you are with. They're your place. They're what's going on in your life. And I thought this was pshat in the Gemara in Tzmura, right? I just realized, maybe this is Pshat in the Gemara in Tzmura. Let's see. There's a Gemara in Tzmura. It's about Otniel ben Kenaz, right? In the door of Moshe Rabbeinu, Otniel ben Kenaz on Tes Zayin in Tzmura, he davened for so many things. What did he daven for? Im barach tivarcheini b'Torah. Hashem, give me Torah. V'herbeisius gvuli b'talmidim. Give me talmidim. V'aysi yadchi mani shalishtachik talmudi. Don't let me forget my learning. He wants everything over here. He wants Torah. He wants Talmidim. He doesn't want to forget his learning. Vase miriasi, she's dominly reim kamosi. Give me friends like me. Give me friends like me. Lebildi atzbi. Says the Gemara, if you give me this, fine. If not, I will die. I'm going to shel tachtis. Pretty dramatic. Pretty dramatic tefillah. His tefillah was answered, by the way. Not bad. Learning, Talmidim, never forgetting your Torah, right? Having friends like you. But I have a question. I'd like to ask a question. What's an emergency over here? I mean, no offense to Rosh Yeshiva. No offense. But Rosh Yeshiva don't have much time for friends. True or false? True? They don't have time for friends. One or two? One or two. Okay? What is going on over here? But even those one or two, how often do they get together? Not too often. Okay. So what's going on over here? I would tell Otniel ben Kenaz to calm down. I'd say, listen, you've got Torah, you're not forgetting it, you have Talmidim, you have a yeshiva. You'll be a Rosh Yeshiva without friends. What's the big deal? It happens to a lot of people, right? You know what pshat is over here? Reim kamoisi? No, no. Friends carry you through life. You can't be anything without friends. Friends is the way you see the world. And I was thinking in my own life, my friends in yeshiva, my friends, I was like nostalgic today. I was remembering, you know, being at home. And I was remembering also in the middle of the night, my chavrusa going, Barrel, I got it! And he broke through the pshat in the Reb Chaim. It was crazy. It was probably like 2 a.m. And I remember seeing there looked like an aura of Kedusha around him. I was like, this is my friend. He got shot. And I remember during Koilo, getting calls after being married, 11:30 at night. You're not going to believe this. We were machaving to the Shud HaRashba. Our mahalach is mafurish and rishonim. I'll see you tomorrow. See you tomorrow. When you live with people like this, you're a different person. You're a different person. And to this day, I know exactly who's going to appreciate what. I'm going to waste a vart on some weirdo who goes, nice dvar Torah. It takes away from your chayim, from living in the mayim. A real friend who's like you with the same values, you can't do anything without that. It's who you are. It's your metzias. It's the most biggest influence. The yeshiva's going to be Torah, not forgetting Torah and Talmidim. But how is Atniel ben Kenaz going to be someone that's worth learning from? Who wants to learn from him? That you need friends. You need friends that are like you. It's an incredible thing. I remember on Purim once, wow, an Adam Gadol who said a chabura at our kailal came into the kailal's Purim mesiva. They attacked him. How did you say pshat like that in Rashi? What? That wasn't pshat in Tosfos. He didn't need a security guard. That's living. If you're around such people, then you can be Torah, Batz Musa. But if you're not, then you can be so confused. And I was thinking this is maybe pshat in a Mishnah in Avos. A Mishnah in Avos and a difficult parish that Rabbeinu Yonah rejects. Rabbeinu Yonah rejects. Says the Mishnah, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai tells his Talmidim, Mishnah, Perek Beis Mishnah Tes, Amar Lehem, Tzu'u U'ru'u Ezu Derech Yeshara. He tells his Talmidim, go find the best way to become great. Sheyidbach ba'adam, that you should attach yourself to. Rabbi Eliezer says, Ayin Toiva, a good eye. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Chaver Tov, a good friend. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Shachin Tov, a good neighbor. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Haroas Anolad. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Lev Tov, a good heart. So what's going on in this Mishnah? Rov Rishonim learned the following way. Ayin Tova, you should have a good eye. A good eye includes so much. Chaver Tov, be a good friend to others. Rabbi Yossi says, be a good neighbor. Neighbors have to be so involved in helping people. So if you're working on being a good neighbor, you're going to really accomplish a lot in your midas, in all areas. Rabbi Elazar says, a Lev Tov, a good heart. That's how Rov Rishonim learn, okay? Rabbeinu Yonah goes this way. But he says, the Rishonim, which obviously preceded Rabbeinu Yonah, but they're not on the page. He says, the Rishonim learn that having a good heart and a good eye, fine. But what's Chaver Tov? Having a good friend? Having a good friend, not being a good friend. All the Rishonim are saying, be a good friend. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, I saw pshat in Rishonim that says, have a good friend. Shachin Tov, have a good neighbor. And he says, I'm rejecting this pshat. You know why? Because the other pshatim in the Mishnah of having a good eye, having a good heart, those are internal things. And having a good friend and having a good neighbor is not something that's internal. It's external. And he rejects the pshat. He rejects it. But he says it's from Rishonim. So with the permission of Rabbeinu Yonah, I would like to say pshat in the Rishonim. I'm allowed, because it's Rishonim. The Rishonim seem to say that there is having a good eye, having a good heart, and having a good friend, having a good neighbor. Those are all on par with each other. Can someone explain this to me? The answer is it's Pashut. It's Pashut. Do you know what it is to have a good friend? It's a remedy for all of our problems. It's a way to become more internal than you've ever become. Having a good neighbor that you always see and always influences you, always has a good word and always is mechayev you to be better. That's how you change internally. And they were giving a recipe for fixing everything. And it's a Rambam that we mentioned last week. The Rambam says in the sixth parak of Deis, Derech briyosoi shel adam lios nimshach b'deyoseh b'minag anshim nidaso. It's the way of man's nature. Rav Yerucham of Mir and others are medayik. It's basically instinctual. That a person will be influenced by Maisav Achareyav, his friends, his companions, Chaverav, his friends, V'noig b'minog anshim dinaso. And Americans will act like Americans, Englishmen will act like Englishmen, Chinamen will act like Chinamen, people from Thailand will act like Thailand people. It's something that is in the actual Bria. Derech Briyasa Shalazam. Derech Briyasa Shalazam. So if a person wants to make moves, you know what the Mishnah is saying according to these Rishonim? Find good friends. Be part of a good chevra. And things will change. It's so obvious, and it happens all the time, that people are constantly chasing losers and staying losers for so long until they finally realize, what am I doing? But they realize it after so much time. Part of life is a responsibility to gravitate towards people that can lift you up, that have values that you have somewhat or values that you want. And if a person doesn't do that, then they'll always be going down. As soon as they go up, they'll go down again. Because friends are the most influential part of what's going on in our lives. I once had a conversation with Rav Gamliel Rabinovich. And he said, you know what I daven for with my kids? One thing, that they should have good friends. That's all I daven for. That's what I daven for. They should have good friends. Because if they have good friends, it works. It works. And I can tell you from my own experience. I have my son, his closest friend is Shimshon Pincus. Nice name, right? And the other day, he's a chiller, my son. I hope he doesn't listen to me. He doesn't know what a chiller is anyway. He's a chiller. But he says, maybe he'll listen to some chassan, he'll enjoy it by then. But he's a chiller. But he tells me, Abba, I'm going to Shimshi's house. I'm helping him type a shtickle Torah. I'm like, okay, bye. Have fun. Like, he wouldn't do that on his own. It's a great, great kid. But it's friends. When you have a good friend, you end up going to big places, doing big things, thinking big, being interested in things that are more noble, more exciting than pizza and worse. It's interesting. During the davening, we'd say two Yehi Ratzons in the morning. In the bracha of Agomel Chasadim Tovim, Mavir Sheinim Einai, right? We say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should take us away from a chaver ra, from a bad friend. And then right afterwards, there's another Yehi Ratzon. Shetati Leinu Mikol Davar Ra, Me Adam Ra, Me Azipanim, Azipanim, Adam Ra, Chaver Ra, a bad friend. Two tefillahs, one after another, that are about davening for stay away from bad friends. It never says you should daven for a good friend. I don't know, it's interesting. But these tefillahs in the morning that we say are about staying safe. The Arizal says that the two tefillahs are called pnimius and chitzonius. One is the external safety of a person, and the other is the internal, in their heart, in their thought process. And a bad friend can be bad on so many levels. He could be bad causing a person to do things that are not good for their health. The people who do these foolish things, people who ever, in the world, ever did drugs or things that really make no sense to do, they did it because there was a group of people that they wanted to fit in with. They didn't, in the middle of nowhere, just go, let me do this privately. There's no chill to that in the beginning. Afterwards, there's a chill to that, once you're stuck and addicted to it. But in the beginning, it starts with wanting to fit in. That's the external dangers. Wanting to go to places in town that you never even imagined you would go to. Why? Because someone has an idea that you like, you want to connect to. And then it goes internally. The bad friends, there's another Yiratzen, changing your inside, changing the way you look at the world, changing what you thought was good and what you thought was bad, changing everything, totally different, topsy-turvy. Rachmana Litzlan. There was a great Rav, I'm not going to say who, I can't say who, but one of the Gedolei Olam, one of the great Gedolim of the previous generation, who was known in all the books about them, he was known for his great kindness and his smiling at everybody, and you know, everybody just loved him. He was that gadol who just only did good. Very easy to write a clean article biography about such a person, you know, just everything gewaldig. Okay, I heard from a friend of his son. Okay, his sons became Gedolei Olam. And I heard from a friend of his son that his son told him the following thing. He said he had a friend that his father, who was one of the Gedolei Hador, didn't like. He didn't like that friend that one of his sons had. One night, in the middle of the night, in the deep winter, he grabs his son out of bed in the middle of the night, he was sleeping, drags him out, throws him out of the house. Throws him out. This was the... They don't put this in the Art Scroll biography. Right? If they did, they got deleted after the first editor. It didn't even make it to the second or third editor. It's gone. It's gone, this story. Right? This is a dangerous story. Threw him out of the house. And he says, Tati, let me in! He says, no. He says, Tati, I'm going to freeze to death. He says, no. I don't care if you freeze to death, if you still have that friend. Because if you still have that friend, your life is worth nothing. Whoa. Pretty extreme. I can't do that, okay? My kids would sue me. That's it. They would take me out of nowhere. Right? In this generation, forget it. The authorities would be after you. However, there's a very deep message. This Gadol, who was known for all of his love, that's called love. You know how dangerous it is to be attached to someone who's so confused? And we have to take this very seriously. Of course, we're all boys, and it's all about the boys. But there are people in life who are poison. Who are poison. And if you stay away from them, by the way, they'll end up getting better, and they'll end up joining you in the end. Don't think you're even being mean. By the end, everybody goes up. Because they start losing energy. When they start losing people who are like their followers or part of them, they start getting very nervous. They're sitting with a hookah alone. They're like, where is everybody? They're at a Malava Malka? Maybe I'll go to a Malava Malka. Right? This is a major, major part of environment. And I want to end with one thing. It's very big today, Hisbodidus. You guys know what Hisbodidus is? Hisbodidus, there are people in the back of my house. I have a forest in the back. It's the only zoned forest in Yerushalayim. I've had deer in the back. It's unbelievable. It's a zoned forest, the Jerusalem forest. People go there to be alone. Hisbodidus, it's in. So I would like to offer a Hisbodidus that's in the Chovas Halvavos, a fascinating Hisbodidus. Doesn't make much sense that this is Hisbodidus, but this is what he says. He starts talking about the milas of being alone, but he says there's something much greater. Says Rabbeinu Bachya in Chovas Halvavos Shar Cheshbon HaNefesh Cheshbon Yud Zayin. He says, Ki bechevras chachamim ayoidim elokim bez toraso, being companions with chachamim who know the Torah and know are tied to Hashem, hisarivim doli bnei adam, heder inyan bedidus va'anachas milas yichudus achi bedidus hagmura. He says, you're not alone, you're with so many people, so many talmidei chachamim. But he says, I want you to know, hi habedidus hagmura, this is the greatest being alone you'll ever be in your life. Vayichidus hashlema, the moment of real clarity of being alone. What does that mean? What does that mean? What's he talking about? How can you be with 20 talmidei chachamim and be in hisbodidus? What does that mean? What it means is that everybody else is playing a game. You don't feel like you can be yourself. You're trying to impress people. You're trying to this. You're trying to that. When you're around chachamim, people who have real values, you can shine. You don't have to worry, do I sound like a fool when I'm singing right now? Am I looking like that? It's all image and image. When you're around good people, you can finally be alone. You could finally feel like you're in a room of people and you're alone. You can be yourself. This is the greatest hispodidus, is to expose yourself to such people. And we're ending this inyan. We've been talking about getting into learning. And there's so much competition in the world. They're selling so much stuff. But we have to realize, we have it in us. We have all the kaychas, all of the chelik in Torah. We have a base medrash, we have a yeshiva, we have chaverim. We're in the water. It's all around us. And the more we stay in this mayim, the more we stay in this greenhouse, shesulim beveis Hashem, will become talmidei chachamim, Sadiqim, Murim, Gedolei Yisrael.